showing up, and it's a blessing to be here at Steadfast Baptist Church to be preaching. And I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach today. It's always a wonderful blessing to get to preach at a non-fire for God church, especially Steadfast Baptist Church, whether it be Oklahoma City, at Pure Words in Houston, or right here in Fort Worth. It is a blessing. Can I get somebody to grab me a water, please? I forgot to bring my water up. I apologize. So we're here in Nehemiah chapter 1, and Nehemiah finds out about the state of the nation of Judah right now. And he finds out that it's not very good. There's a lot of distress going on. There's a lot of turmoil going on. And he finds out that the wall has been broken down. And he's very upset. He's very sad. He prays to God about this, And he just has this idea that in his mind that he just wants things to be better. He just wants things to be different. He wants things to change. He doesn't want the wall to be broken down. He doesn't want the people to be in distress. He wants things to be right. And like manner, when we look out today, we want things to be better. We want the word of God to be everywhere. We want people, all men, to be saved, just as God does too. And so there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good attitude to have. To be like, hey, this is wrong, and pray to God and be like, God, help us to change this, be with us. And the title of my sermon is an offensive mindset. And I believe Nehemiah, is a good example of this offensive mindset. Now, what is an offensive mindset? It's somebody that makes something happen rather than it happens on its own, right? He's making it happen, right? Or a person that would be like, they create opportunities, they create success. You think about a person that starts a company, right? If they have an offensive mindset, they're going out there, they're knocking doors, they're getting their product out there, they're getting their name out there, they're doing all the legwork, they're just working and working and working to try to get the business started. And you can't do that by just sitting at home. You can't do that by just, sitting behind the computer. You have to get out there and do the work if you want to start that business. And like manner, if Nehemiah wants to get this wall built, what's he going to do? Is he just going to sit there and just hope somebody else does it? Is he just going to sit there and wish that it just gets built? Or is he actually going to have an offensive mindset and go out there and create that opportunity, create that success, make something happen rather than just happen on its own and hope somebody else does it? But before we get to this, Nehemiah going and building the wall, I want to actually go through the Bible. And let's just see what God wants us to do. Does God have this mindset? Does God want us to be this type of Christian, of having this offensive mindset? So go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll go through some verses. We'll just see, does God want us to have this attitude, this offensive mindset, someone that goes out there and makes something happen, that creates opportunities, that creates success? Matthew chapter 28, look down at verse 19. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So here we see Jesus, before he's going to ascend up into heaven after his resurrection, he's telling his disciples to go therefore and teach all nations. Go, teach them. This is an offensive mindset that God's trying to tell, that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, that you need to go out and do this. They're not going to come to you. This is not going to happen on its own. You have to do this. You have to make this happen. And as Christians and as a church, we have to go out and make this happen. We have to go out there and teach. Churches don't just create on their own. And when they do, they're unbiblical. Okay, a church needs to expand its footprint. It needs to set up other churches. Titus, go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I'll read for you Titus chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So what are we trying to say here? What is he saying? Go and ordain men and start some churches, because we need to be offensive. We need to expand the footprint of God. We need to expand the gospel, and we do that by starting churches. And of course, we need men. We need men to step up and be prepared to do that. But a church should be willing and wanting to expand and maybe have a satellite church, maybe one or two, and be wanting to send out men to start churches. That's an offensive mindset. That's not just sitting back and just hoping that churches pop up somewhere. That's creating that success. That's going out there and doing that. That's an offensive mindset. That's what God wants us to do. And you can take that to your own job too. You creating your own success at work and not letting things happen on its own. You know, Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Here we are with this offensive mindset again that Jesus wants to send his disciples out. He wants to send them forth. He's not telling them, just hang out here. Just chill out here. People will come to you. He says, no, go out. Go out into the highways and hedges. Go out in the midst of these wolves and do the work. Go out. Okay? And you know, when you want to serve God, sometimes it's difficult. You know, if you want to have an offensive mindset, sometimes you're going to be around people that are not pleasant. Right? And you know, when you look at, I think at Pure West Baptist Church, when I go there, it's not in the nicest neighborhood. But you know what? Some of those people are really easier to get saved. But then there's also a lot of bad churches around too. I know there's like there's a couple of churches that are like in that strip mall. But it doesn't matter. Because Jesus said, I'll send you forth among wolves. Amen? As lambs among wolves. So we see this offensive mindset that God's trying to push his disciples out and go into the world. Go get something done. Go get people saved. Go teach them. Go baptize them. Don't just sit here and do nothing. And as Christians, we need to get up and go expand that footprint. Be an ambassador for Christ by having the offensive mindset and go and get something done. People aren't going to save themselves. It's not going to happen that way. We have to go out there and do that. We have to go out there and show them how to be saved and preach them the gospel. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach lest they be sent? Men need to be sent out to preach the gospel and not just sit in church and never go out and do anything. And not just be sent out to hand out flyers or maybe a questionnaire. I remember the first Baptist church I went to, you know, I was excited about going soul winning for the first time, and I really wanted to do this. I took my wife, I said, we're going to do this, we're going to get plugged in. It doesn't matter if it's Pastor Anderson's church. It doesn't matter. We just want to serve God and do the best we can wherever we're at. That's the mentality that we should have. That's just, you know, what we had as young Christians. And I show up at soul winning time, and he's going through the Romans road, and it's not going very well because he has these little pocket New Testaments, right? And those are kind of cool. And he's, yeah, yeah, I got these New Testament Bibles. They're great. You can have one. Or just let me know afterwards. And I'm like, oh, cool, great. You know, I need one of those because I got this big old Bible, and I want that small one. And I go up to him afterwards, and I'm like, hey, can I have one? He says, $20. And I'm like, oh, man, that's jacked up. I'm like, this isn't going well. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, we're just here to go preach the gospel. It's fine. It's okay. Even though, I was a little upset by that. Like, can I just have one? You know, you didn't tell me that beforehand. And now you're telling me I don't got $20, man. I'm a little light on the pocket, you know? So anyways, so we go out soul winning, and it's not soul winning. You take a clipboard with a questionnaire asking people if they want to get saved. Do you want to know, like, I mean, not like how we do it. I mean, like, hey, would you like somebody to show you? Okay, great. We'll be in touch with you. That's not soul winning. That's not being offensive. That's being lazy. Offensive is saying, hey, let me show you how to be saved. Can I show you right now how to be saved and how to get to heaven? That's being offensive. That's being on the doorstep of the people preaching the gospel. That's not sitting down and hoping that somebody else does it. That's not going out with a questionnaire. That's not going out with flyers and door hangers. That's actually on the doorstep, knocking the door, asking them if they want to hear the gospel, and then preach them that gospel. You know, there's a reason why the Bible says that we're shod when we put on the full armor of God, that we're shod with, our feet are shod with the gospel. Why is our feet shod? Because we need shoes. And the shoes are the gospel. Amen. And we go places with shoes. Can you imagine being at someone's house? Just imagine this. You're at somebody's house, right? And you're hanging out. Hopefully, you know, we like to take our shoes off at the house, but sometimes you forget. You know, with a lot of kids, your carpet gets messed up anyway, so we've got to take off the shoes, all right? Otherwise, it's not going to last as long as it already has. What if you have a friend over, and you're hanging out, and all of a sudden he starts putting on his shoes? You're probably going to think, where are you going? What are you doing? So we have the gospel. That means what? We have to leave. We have to go somewhere with it. We have to take that gospel. Our feet take us places. And we shod our feet with that gospel, the gospel of truth. Amen. Go in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, starting churches, starting satellite churches, going out there and soul winning, teaching people, that's an offensive mindset. And anybody that's against satellite churches is not right. I don't believe that. I support satellite churches, but I support them the right way, and we've been doing it the right way. And I don't like home churches. I don't like self-ordained pastors. I like it done the right way according to the Bible, because that's the way it should be done. That's the way that would be offensive. We go out there, we start churches, we ordain men, and then we preach the gospel to the people in the city that we go out there and we do that. I'll read for you Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline the words, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So here, on another note, God's telling us that if we want knowledge, if we want to know wisdom, we have to go and get it. You know, we don't just get saved and all of a sudden we're just endowed with all this wisdom and knowledge, and we're just like, oh, I know everything now, I'm saved. I feel like sometimes people get like that. I feel like Christians who don't read their Bible, some of them, they just think they know everything. I don't know why it is, but whether they watch movies or just listen to sermons and never read, probably that's the case. But, you know, we need to get wisdom. We need to get understanding. We need to get knowledge. We have to go after it and get it, okay? No one goes to school or gets an education, I would say like maybe a trade, and never reads, never studies. I remember going through the fire academy and EMS school. There was a lot of studying. What if I never studied? What if I just sat in class and just didn't do anything? I wouldn't learn anything. When it comes time for the test, I'm going to fail. But I had to study. I had to make flashcards. I had to study those flashcards. I had to get understanding. I had to understand the concepts. I had to understand the theories. I had to understand all the definitions. I had to understand all that stuff, every single part of it. You know, likewise, at your job, right, you have to be willing to get that knowledge. You know, you're going to be given some, but most jobs, especially if you have experience, they're going to be like, okay, here's your computer. Here's your stuff. Get to work. That's what I pay you to do. You should be thinking, where's the manual? Let me read it. Where's this company policy? Where's our standard procedures? You know, where's this stuff at? Start reading it. Start getting that knowledge, because it's not going to fall in your lap. You know, that helps out at your job when you have that mentality. When you show up at work ready to learn, ready to get understanding, ready to know that job. And, you know, your boss is going to appreciate that. When you start investing yourself into that company, when you start investing yourself in doing that, that sets you apart from other people. And likewise, with a church, with God, you separate yourself from others by studying the Bible. You say, how do I get, one of the ways that I'm offensive is you go out there and you study the Bible. You go out there, you get that understanding and you grab it. It says, get wisdom, forget it not, take hold on it, memorize the verses, memorize the scriptures, memorize the chapters, okay? You're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So we're supposed to read. We're supposed to read. Now, you know, there are times you may have to listen to it, but I think reading is the best way. You know, maybe if you want to, like, learn the names a little better, you can listen to Alexander Scorby and help, you know, get through that. And, you know, because when you're saying the names, it just feels like you're just screwing it up, and I just feel so dumb. You know, you got to put it in. Am I saying it right? You know, and plus I want to make sure that I say it too, because sometimes when you read, you'll like kind of like say it, but you're really not saying it because you're trying to get through it. We've all done that, okay? But we try to pronounce the words and understand how to say it. But, you know, we should be able to give attendance to reading. We should focus on that. That's an offensive mindset, sitting down, focusing, and reading the Bible, going through it, okay? Go to Mark chapter 1. Actually, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What are we doing? We're seeing what the Bible says about having this mindset. We're proving the point that the Bible teaches that we should have a go-getter attitude. This offensive mindset, this I'm going to make opportunities. I'm going to create my success. I'm not just going to just do nothing and expect me to have this entitlement attitude. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to go reading. I'm going to memorize the Bible. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do that. That's an offensive mindset, not defensive, not hanging out, being reactive, being proactive. You go out there and you're doing stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 5. But I'll read for you. Before I get there, I want to read Hebrews chapter 5. I don't want to skip this. Hebrews 5, 12. You stay in 1 Timothy 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You know what's really annoying with a boss is when he shows you something and you don't pay attention, and he come back and has to show you again, right? Someone that's not trying to be this go-getter attitude, he just doesn't remember anything. He doesn't pay attention. Somebody has an offensive mindset. He's paying attention. He's absorbing the information, and he's getting more info. He's learning. How can you say that you learned something if you forgot it? You don't learn anything. You went one in or not the other. You know, when you teach your kids and you tell them to do something, they're like, "Why didn't you do it? You didn't do what I say." You're not learning what I'm trying to tell you what to do. You're not doing it. You're not even doing it right. And it gets frustrating. I can't imagine what God thinks about us, you know, when we have so much information in front of us, and we read it, and then we just don't do it, and we forget it. Like, "Oh, I forgot. Oh, man." You know, I'm sure, you know, that frustrates bosses out there. When you get to work and, you know, he shows you how to do something, it's something very simple, something very basic, and you don't pay attention, and you forget, and you mess it up, and he comes back and says, "What are you doing? No, I don't even need you anymore. You stink. I'm going to go use this guy, because this guy knows what to do. This guy is just working hard. This guy is getting all the wisdom. This guy's, he knows it, man. He gets it. He's absorbing all of it. He's asking me all these questions." You know how you show your boss that you're a go-getter? You ask him questions. You ask him, "I don't understand this. Show me." That's an offensive mindset, right? What? Because you're being proactive. You're not just waiting. You're actually going, but like, "Look, I don't understand this. Can you show me? Hey, that looks interesting. Can you teach me how to do that? I want to do that. I want to know how to do that. I see him doing that. Can I do that too? I want to know how to do that." Your boss would appreciate that because he needs guys that knows a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different activities going on at companies. You imagine construction. There's so many different things with construction, so many different pieces and moving parts. You know, be that guy that's just soaking up all the info, that's just going out there and learning how to do this, learning how to do that. So if the boss is out of town, the boss is out sick, guess who he's going to call on to watch out for the site? He's going to call on the guy that knows everything. He's going to call on the guy that knows what to do, right? That's who he's going to entrust with the job site. And it can relate to other jobs too. I'm in sales. That's my profession. And it's important in my profession to have an offensive mindset, to be a hunter, to go out there and build the business, to go out there and talk to customers, to go out there and be on the job site and follow up. That's the kind of business that I'm in. And I like doing that. I like doing that. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look down at verse 8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Look, lazy people don't get anything done. A go-getter provides, and he provides well, right? A go-getter not only provides, but he provides well. He's able to provide for his house and for other people. Maybe there's somebody in your family that might need some help. Oftentimes, family members might call and be like, "Can I have some help?" And then you're able to do that. Why? Because you're working really hard. You're being that offensive-minded person that you're just a go-getter. You're working extra hours if you can, just a little bit more. I'm not saying to overwork yourself, but it's always good to put in a little extra more, and the boss sees that. He likes that go-getter. He likes the guy that's willing to take on extra tasks that other people aren't willing to do. And if you want to be a provider with your family, guess what? You have to take on a lot of extra tasks. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. And that's what God wants you to do as men, is to go out there and provide for your house, go out there and work hard with your hands, and not be lazy and sit at home and call in sick when you're not really sick, right? When you're just too tired and you work too hard the night before and you wake up and you're like, "Well, I got an extra sick day. I'm just going to take it and be lazy." Well, you should just get up and keep working. I like sick days. I like taking days off. I'm with you, man. But you know what? It can create a lazy person, you know? It can get us kind of apathetic to work. And I'm not much for taking vacation. I never take a lot, you know? But, you know, Take it if you have a little bit, you know. Hey, take it on August 18th through the 20th, okay, for the men's retreat. Hopefully you saved up for some for there. Make it worth your while. You'll have some king of the hill, you know, and get thrown off the water blubber thing, whatever. It's pretty fun. But I'll read for you. Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I read for you Proverbs 20, verse 4. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You know what lazy people do? We just sit back and do nothing. He's not a go-getter. They have nothing. They get hungry. You know, the rent doesn't get paid. The kids are eating ramen and never having a decent meal. You know, they're always asking people for money. Hey, man, can you help me out? You know, calling their parents. Can you help me out? We should be able to provide. And an offensive-minded person provides for his family. He's always looking to provide. He's always looking for ways to provide, better ways to provide. Maybe a better job that has better hours. Maybe a job that you're not busting your butt outside where you're just wore out by the time you get home and you're like, maybe there's another opportunity out there where I can have more time with my family and make the same amount of money. Hey, that would be great, wouldn't it? I think all men would love that if I could have more time with my family, more time with my friends at church, more time soul winning. It wouldn't interfere with church service. I think we would all want that. You know, an offensive-minded person is looking for those opportunities. He's not just waiting for it to fall in his lap. He's looking for that. He desires that. Okay? Proverbs, we're going to tell you to turn. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Is that okay? Romans 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that God, good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, we're going to the Bible once again, and we're seeing, does God want us to have this attitude of being a go-getter, who's creating opportunities, who's creating success? Hey, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting sin out of your life, it's going to have to be you. It's going to have to be work. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to be that go-getter. You're going to have that mindset that you're going to put on that new man, that you're going to be transformed. You have to do it. No one's going to make you do it. No one's going to hold your hand and tell you to stop smoking and stop drinking and stop doing this. You have to do it. You're not babies. We're grown-ups. You understand? We're expected to do this. God's telling us that we have to do it. You have to go out and make that happen. You have to be proactive with that. It's not, look, this idea that when people get saved, it is automatically do good works, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. You have to, in your mind, purpose yourself to go out and get sin out of your life. You have to do the transforming. You have to make it happen. You know, this is our playbook right here to make it happen. This is it. It'll show you how to do it. But you have to have that offensive mindset that I'm going to get up and I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do, because it's not going to happen on its own. It's not going to happen on its own. Have that offensive mindset where you're thinking, I need to change. I need to get better. Go out and make it happen. Ephesians chapter 4, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 4 verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God isn't going to put on the new man for you. You have to put on the new man. So have this go-getter attitude that when you wake up in the morning, you're going to put on the new man. That's what you're going to do. That's what we need to do. We need to have that mindset that, look, I'm going to create this. I'm going to make this happen, right? I'm going to put on that new man. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. It says, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart, that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, we have an offensive mindset when it concerns your children. Be up there and start teaching your children. We need to teach our children. We need to be proactive when it comes to teaching our children. Look, children can't feed themselves. When they try, they burn the house down, okay? I know. I've had stuff burn on the stove, okay? Children don't learn on their own. And when they do learn on their own, it's always bad stuff. It's never good stuff, okay? right? So we need to teach them. We need to have this proactive offensive mindset that we're teaching our children and showing them what to do, because they're not going to learn on their own. Bring them out. If you have your kids in public schools, bring them out of public schools. Bring them to the house, and you teach them what to do. It's your responsibility to do that. You need to teach your children the Bible. You need to sit down with them and teach them the Bible. That's what we need to do. Okay? That's having an offensive mindset when it comes to your children, is that you're sitting down and you're creating your child's future success by filling them with the Word of God. That's what you're doing. Amen? So do that. Let's teach our children the Word of God. Let's have that offensive mindset that we're not just going to hope and pray that they wind up good. We're going to make that happen. We're going to correct them when they do bad. We're going to chasten them when they mess up. And we're going to teach them the Word of God so they know the right way to go, so they know which direction they need to turn to. Don't just, you know, hope that they do it. Well, he seems like a good kid, so he's going to wind up being okay. I'm not that bad. Look, our kids learn most of the bad stuff that we do. Okay, I'll just be honest with you, all right? They always pick up the stuff that you don't want them to pick up. Like, dang it, where'd you learn that from? And it's like, your wife looks at you like, I wonder who. And you're like, ah, dang it. So let's teach them the good stuff, right? So we went through, and you know, these Bible chapters, these verses, to learn that the Bible is teaching us to have an offensive mindset. But we need to know how to effectively implement this. So go back to Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be in Nehemiah from here on out. And we're going to see how to apply this. What's an effective way to have this mindset? And I think reading through the first several chapters of Nehemiah, it's going to teach us how to do that. Because this is what this guy is. Hey, this guy wants change, and he's going to make change. He wants things to happen, and he's going to make it happen. He's not going to wait around and wonder if somebody else is going to do it. He's going to get up, and he's going to do it. He's a go-getter. He's going to make it happen. Look at Nehemiah. We'll start. So I have, how many points do I have? I have, I believe, 4 points to be in, have an effective mindset. 4 points. Very simple. We're going to keep it very simple. 4 points. And I'll try to get through it. I've not been keeping track of time. So we'll get through it. Point number one, to having an effective mindset, this offensive mindset, okay? I know it's a big term, right? Is have a goal. Have a goal. What is a goal? A goal is an object of ambition. Look, if you want to do something and go somewhere, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You have to have something that you're focused on if you're going to do that. What's your ambition? What do you want to do tomorrow? What do you want to do later today? What is your object of ambition? You need a goal if you're going to be an effective offensive person. If you're going to be there, if you're going to be a person that creates success and creates opportunities, you need to have a goal. You need to have a point and a place that you're going to. Whether it be in your reading, right? What are you going to read tomorrow? When are you going to read tomorrow, right? How much do you gotta have to have a goal? How much do I want to read this month? How much do I want to read this year? How much am I going to read tomorrow? Have a goal. Set your mind on that goal. You need that goal. You always need that goal. You need it. Without goals, we are lost, my friend. You don't know where you're going. I can't imagine if I showed up at work and I did not have a goal. I didn't know what I was going to do that day, right? A boss said, what are you going to do? I don't know. Whatever just pops up in my email, I guess I'll do it. I'm like, no, you're going to be lazy. What are you going to do today? My boss sometimes will ask me, what are you doing? What's your plan? Well, I mean, what's your goal? What you got going on? Like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do today. Okay, great. See you later. And then I won't talk to him for a few days. But you know, if I have that goal, that's good for him. He knows that I have a point that I'm focused on, right? And we need that point. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 4. Nehemiah has a goal. What's the goal? Starting verse 4, chapter 2, then the king said unto him, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. What's Nehemiah's goal? What's his object of ambition? It's to build that wall. And he has that goal. And he's going to fulfill that goal, because he actually has one. Without that goal, he has no reason to go there. He has nothing to do. But because he now has a goal, he has an object and something that he's passionate about, now he's going to go do it. We need to have goals in our life. You need to have a goal about soul winning. You need to have a goal about Bible reading. You need to have goals at your job about what you want to do, how you want to progress. You know, do you want to move up in your job? Do you want to have different responsibilities? What are your goals to do that? We need those goals. We need something to work towards. We can't just work to work. I can't just go to work and work to work. I don't like just working for a paycheck. That's boring. I like to have goals at work. I like to challenge myself. Like, hey, I want to do this. I want to have this much sales. I want to do that. That's a goal, right? We need a goal. Luke chapter 9, go to Nehemiah. If you're in, stay in Nehemiah chapter 2, I read for you Luke 19:10. You know, Jesus had goals. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus had a goal. We should have a goal. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he fulfilled that, and that's what he did. And we need goals too. As a church, as a soul winning church, our goal is to save as many people as we possibly can in this lifetime. That's our goal as a church. Right. Do you have that goal? Is that your goal too? We should have the same goal as the church that we attend to. Our goals need to match the pastor's goals. Obviously, he's probably got his own individual goals, but as a unit, we need to have the same goal. And that goal is what? To seek and to save that which is lost. I want the same goal as Christ had, to seek and to save that which is lost. And you know what? That goal does not change. That goal does not change wherever you move to. You know, you may get upset with Steadfast Baptist Church. You may get tired of being here. You may want to go somewhere else. That's fine. You don't have to be here. It's not a cult. Go serve God somewhere else if you want to. That's fine. But that goal should never, ever, ever change. It doesn't matter what church you go to. That goal should never change. Seek and to save that which is lost. If you want to go to First Works, cool, go serve God there. But that goal does not change. That mission never, ever changes. It doesn't matter. You may say, well, I want to go to another church in town. No problem. Just keep the goal and the mission the same. It should never, ever change, ever. You keep that goal. You keep that. You keep that object of ambition. That object of ambition. As a church, our object of ambition is to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you have that goal too? You want to be an offensive-minded Christian? Have a goal to save people. You know, have a goal to read the Bible once in a year. Have the goal to be consistent with your reading. I mean, we could be better consistent people, right? We could be better at that. There's a lot of things that we could be more consistent with. And I'm sure many people would agree that you might want to be better at, more consistent with reading. Maybe that's your goal. Say, okay, I have read my Bible this year, but I really wasn't very consistent. I was kind of like sporadic. I go a few days without reading, and I bust out a bunch of chapters on this day. Instead, have a goal that says, you know what? My goal this year is not just to read it one year, but my goal is to actually read 4 or 5 chapters every day. That's a new goal, right? And by making these new goals, life never gets boring. Life never stops being interesting. You're always having new goals. You're always having new challenges in your life, right? Point number two, stay in Nehemiah chapter 2, is the plan. You know, we have a goal. We need to have how we're going to do it. You know, what's a plan? A plan is to arrange and organize in advance. That's pretty simple, right? Look at verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. See here, Nehemiah gets his goal. He gets his object of ambition, right? And now he's got the plan. The plan is materials. I need materials. Not only that, but I need a way to get there. I mean, traveling's easy today, and back then it was a lot difficult to travel, right? It takes more resources to travel then, okay? More people have to go with you. It's much more difficult to travel alone. You need other people to go with you. You need more resources on your travels. It takes longer. You need water. You need food. You know, you might want to take somebody that knows medicine in case something happens. You need these resources. And that's why he's asking the king, like, I need help going there too. Why? Because he's planning every part of the mission. He's planning every part of this goal. Not only that, look down at verse 13. It says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, and before the dragon and well, and to the dung and poor. So he gets to the city, right? And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Look down at verse 15. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. So what's he doing here? He's doing a site assessment, right? He's doing a walkthrough. He's looking for obstacles. He's looking for where do I need to start this project at? He's just getting an idea of what it looks like. He has material, right? He has a way to get there. He's there now. Now he's just doing a walkthrough and more planning. He's planning this project as he's walking through and getting a visual of what's going on. He's gathering that together so he can accomplish that object of ambition, to accomplish that goal. Hey, offensive-minded people, they have a plan. You know why? Because they're productive. Offensive-minded people are productive. They have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to be productive. You're not a go-getter. What are you going to get? How are you going to get there? Right? How are you going to get there? Well, you know, without a plan of Bible reading, how are you going to get that done? Without a plan of soul winning as a church, how are we going to get that done? How are we going to soul win without maps? We don't know where to send you, right? We don't know the best places to go, right? How do we know where to go? How do we know how to get there? Whose car are we going to travel in? These are all part of the plan. We have a church van. We'll take you there, right? These are things that are planned out to accomplish that goal, right? Because why? Because we're offensive-minded, right? We're go-getters. Okay? Look down at Nehemiah, verse 17, 2:17. Then said I unto them, see the distress that we are in. Now he's talking to the men of Judah, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also as the king's word that it spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Here's another part of the plan. He's gathering a workforce. Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory. He needs people to do the job. All right? So, point number three, right? So we just went through the fact that Nehemiah had a goal. He had a plan, right? He put that plan together, right? Now, you need to be focused. You need to be focused on that plan and that goal, okay? What does focus mean? To concentrate, to pay attention. Look it down in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2. And it said that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. So these guys, Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah, these guys are just haters, right? These guys are come to discourage Nehemiah from doing the job. They don't want them to be there. They don't want them to be doing any work. They don't want to see the wall be rebuilt. They don't like the men of Judah. They don't like this, right? And so they said, let us meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And they sent unto me four times after the sort. And I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Right? So that didn't work. Four times. Okay, now they're going to send a letter. What's in the letter? It says, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen at Gashmu, saith, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou biddest the wall that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. So it's kind of like what they accused Jesus of, just trying to like overthrow the government and like replace it with something else, which they're not there to do that. Obviously, he's not there. He just wants to build the wall, right? And they always just want to falsely accuse people, right? And so, where did I stop at? Sorry. Yeah, that thou mayest be their king according to these words, and that thou hast also appointed prophets to preach thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king of Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Nehemiah wasn't having it. He's focused on the mission. It doesn't matter about the haters. It doesn't matter about the naysayers. He's focused on the mission. And as a soul-winning church, naysayers. You're going to have scoffers. What are you doing? Why can't you come hang out at the pool party? Why can't you come do this? They're going to get saved. God will figure it out. Why you got to go to church three times a day? Why you have to go soul winning on Saturdays? Why you have to do that? Well, you know what? Stay focused on the mission. It doesn't matter what outside stuff is coming in. I mean, we got protesters here trying to discourage you from coming to church. That's a distraction. But an offensive mind person, he says, I don't care. I'm focused on the mission. I don't care. I've got a plan that I'm trying to follow through with because I want to get this done. And you know, with Bible reading, there can be distractions with Bible reading. You know, where you're reading the Bible can distract you. If you got a lot of kids, you know, don't read at the dinner table, right? I've made that mistake, and things are flying by, and, you know, it's crazy. So try to find some place quiet to go to read the Bible so you can get rid of distractions. Make time. Focus. Set aside time to do these things so you can focus. And you know what? Follow through with it. Don't let the distractions get you off point. If you say, I'm going to read the Bible at 6 a.m., then you're getting up at 6 a.m. and you're going to do that. You're focused. A go-getter, an offensive-minded person is focused. He's not going to get off track by something. He's going to go, I'm going to church Sunday morning. He's focused. I'm going to church Sunday evening. He's focused. I'm going to church Wednesday. He's focused. I'm going soul winning. He's focused. I'm getting sin out of my life. I'm focused. I'm going to separate myself from people in my life so that I can please God. He is focused. Don't worry about the haters. There's always going to be haters in our life. Okay? Stay focused. Now, I think of Peter in Matthew chapter 14, when the wind, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, and it said the wind was boisterous. And guess what? He wasn't focused anymore. All the turmoil and all the stuff was going on. He got all shook up, and he stopped being focused on Jesus. If he just kept us focused on Jesus, he wouldn't worry about the wind. Hey, we're focused on soul winning. We're focused on serving God. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter where you're at. You're going to get it done because you're focused. An offensive-minded person is focused. Point number four is resilience. What is resilience? Resilience is the capacity to recover. Look, if you're going to be doing work, if you're going to be out there being an offensive-minded person, guess what? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw some things up along the way, but that's okay. You may miss a day reading the Bible, but that's fine. You can do it the next day. You can get right back on track. Look down at Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1. Nehemiah 5, verse 1. This is something that was an obstacle for Nehemiah that slowed them down. It said, then there was a great cry of the people, Nehemiah 5, 1, and there was a great cry of the people of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. Why were they upset? Well, if you keep reading, they're upset because they're going broke. They've mortgaged their houses. They're trying to fund this operation. They're feeding people. You know, they've entered themselves into usury. They're losing everything. And they're upset, and they're angry. Like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm going broke. Is this going to work? And, you know, there could be people in your life that are just trying to bring you down and be that distraction, and maybe they may slow you down, but you have to be resilient. It doesn't matter. Bounce back, right? You may make a mistake, like I said, reading, and you may miss a day or a few days or a month or several months. You got tomorrow. Be resilient. A focused person, a person with a plan, a person with a goal, he's going to be resilient. A go-getter, an offensive-minded person is going to bounce back. He's going to bounce back. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. A just man riseth seven times. We're going to fall. That's natural. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. You know, God forbid that maybe you should take another drink of alcohol. Maybe you should smoke that cigarette or smoke whatever or watch whatever. But you know what? You can bounce back. Don't quit. Don't get off the mission because you mess up. Be resilient. Be that guy who says, I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop soul winning because I didn't go soul winning last week. I'm not going to stop going to church because I missed a few services. I'm not going to stop serving God because I backslid and started drinking. I'm just going to get right back on it because I'm resilient, because I'm a go-getter, because I'm an offensive-minded Christian. And God doesn't want people to get discouraged and to sit at home and quit. You know, Peter quit. He went back to fishing, and God went after him, and he said, get back to work. Get back to work. If you're backsliding, and if you're not working for God and soul winning and reading your Bible, be resilient. Get back to work. Get back on the mission. Now, first of all, is that why you're here in the first place? Is that why you're here at Steadfast Baptist Church, just to come and hear some cool sermons, you know, be part of the drama? Or are you actually here to do the work, to focus on the mission, right? Is that why you're here? Well, then bounce back, man. Bounce back. Get back into it. Get back on the horse. Maybe you never got on a horse. So what? Get on it. But I'm telling you, if you're going to get on it, you're going to fall off, but you're going to get right back on it. Godly men in the Bible fell all the time, but they got right back up and they started working. Don't feel bad. Don't have this worldly sorrow where you think, oh, I'm just not good enough. You think of Elijah. You think of Elijah had, you know, he had problems in that the fact that Jezebel was coming and destroying all the prophets, right? And he felt like he's the only one and it's all failing. And then he said that he wasn't as good as his father's. I don't have the verse in front of me. I think I wrote it down. Right? Why is he worrying about whether or not he's not as good as his father's? Right? Who cares if you're not the best soul winner? Who cares if you can't read that well or whatever? Just do it anyways. None of us are the best soul winners. Jesus is the best soul winner. Okay? No one's going to be the best preacher. Jesus is the best preacher. Who cares? You say, well, I'm never going to be good at preaching, so I'm never going to try. Just study the Bible. It'll work itself out, okay? Don't worry about it, you know? Well, you know, I screwed up, and I'm just not as good as these other guys, you know? I just have this past, and, you know, I'm just whatever. It's like, get over it, man. Get over it. Who cares? It doesn't matter what your past is. You're in church now. Okay, quit comparing yourself to other people and think, well, they didn't have it like I had growing up. Who cares? Guess what? There's someone out there that has it worse than you. There's someone out there that had a worse life than you. Don't make excuses. Be resilient. Bounce back. You know? Bounce back. So what? You had a bad past. Get over it. You know, Brother Dylan had a good sermon about letting those things go. Let it go, man. Those things will hold you back. Be resilient. You know? Maybe your friends are coming to haunt you and call you up or whatever. Maybe family is trying to bring you back, you know, away from the Word of God, you know, back from, you know, serving God and trying to pull you back into that life. And you're like, look, I'm not that person anymore. Be resilient. Bounce back in your life. A go-getter, hey, he falls and he rises and he keeps going. We all make mistakes. Hey, you're going to make mistakes at your job. You're going to screw things up at your job. If you ever tried something new, you screw it up. And then you keep screwing it up. You just screw up a little less. That doesn't mean you quit making mistakes, right? You just don't make as big as mistakes, right? Or the same mistakes over and over again. But everybody screws up, you know? As long as you're working hard and a go-getter, your boss is going to be like, look, it's cool, right? Just don't, like, you know, crash the truck or anything like that or, you know, lose the company a bunch of money, you know? And they get pretty angry when you do that, right? And another note, one other thing I want to point out, it wasn't part, but I just want to point out to have joy. When you're doing all these things, when you're being this go-getter, have some joy. Psalm 32, verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You think of Paul and his life and everything that he went through. You know, in Acts chapter 16, verse 22, he says they were beaten with stripes. Then they were thrown into prison. But guess what they did while they're in prison? They sang praises unto God. Hey, how do I be resilient? Well, have some joy. Be happy. Keep a good, positive attitude. And when mistakes and obstacles come, man, you're going to bust right through that stuff. You know, if you miss a day soul winning or miss a week or you're out of it for a little bit, hey, just get back on. Be happy that you still have an opportunity. You still have breath in your lungs to get it right. It's fine. It's okay. Get back on the horse. Praise God. Give joy to him. You're saved. Amen. Hopefully you have put your faith in Christ. You have eternal life. That should be enough joy in our hearts to be like, you know what? I screwed this junk up, but it's fine. You know, I'm going to get back on the horse. God is wonderful. He's merciful. I'm still here. I'm still breathing. I still got my family. It's great. It's wonderful. I don't know where I'm at on time. I don't. But, you know, I was going to get to some people in the Bible that did some pretty cool stuff. You know, I think of Jonathan, right? And 1 Samuel chapter 14, when he took the armor bearer and he went up against the Philistines. Amen. Just him, just the two of them, right? That's an offensive-minded person. He's like, look, you know, we got weapons. A lot of people don't. A bunch of people are also hanging out in the rocks. What is he going to do? Hey, let's get to work, man. You know, we may be one of the few churches, or maybe some people might be in a town with just one church that's soul winning. So what? So what if you just, maybe, I'm sure there's probably a couple of guys in some deadbeat town or the only guy soul winning somewhere. Amen to that, you know? There's some go-getters, right? They're like, look, no church here. We're the only guys. So what? Let's just go soul winning. Like Jonathan and his armor bearer going up to slay Philistines, right? But here's the thing I like about that story is it said that he climbed up upon his hands and his feet. You know, when he looked up that hill, it wasn't like, hey, man, do we want to do this? Because, you know, it looks hard. I got all this stuff with me. Maybe we should just chill out here. Maybe we'll just come down. You know? I don't know if I want to do that. No, he says, no, I'm going to climb up this hill. Who cares? Who cares how hard it is? You know, when you're a go-getter, offensive-minded person, you don't care how hard it is. When the boss says, hey, you know, I got all the stuff I need to do, you're like, give it to me. I'll do that. I don't care. I'll do that. Let's go, man. Let's get it done. You know, you're hyped up. You're pumped. It doesn't matter. Man, it's 100-something degrees outside. Hey, I'm a go-getter. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to get it. It's cold outside. Hey, it's fine. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's work. You know, man, when I walk out church, man, these people are going to be shouting at me. It's cool. Don't worry about it. You know? Or coming to church. It's probably much easier leaving than it is coming. When coming, they're all, you know, I don't know. It sucks either way, but I'm happy to be here. You know, I'm happy to be, you know, persecuted for the word of God. That's what I'm happy. Hey, think about this. Sorry. Think about Samuel, or David in 1 Samuel 17. If you read that story, it said that he ran toward the Philistine. You think he was waiting to be like, hey, man, I got the sling, but, you know, you come to me, you know. You come to me. Or he's like, well, I don't know. I'm a little hesitant. Maybe if I just let him come to me, he might make a mistake and trip, you know, and fall over, and then I can pounce on him that way. No, an offensive-minded person says, I'm taking a fight to you. I'm taking the fight to them. And David wasn't waiting and sitting back. He's like, I'm running to you. I'm going for you. And, you know, if you keep reading down in verse 52, it said that he chased them under the gates. And I can't remember what the gate was called, like something with an E. I thought I had the verse here. But it reminded me of that verse that when God told Peter that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's like, how far are you willing to go with it? All the way, man. I'm going to chase those Philistines all the way. I'm going to chase them under the gate. I'm going to do the work of God. It doesn't matter. Nothing. I'm not bound by anything because Christ is with me. Because Christ is with me. I'll chase the Philistines all the way. I'll chase them off the cliff, right? That's what that mindset is. And, you know, but we're fighting. I'm going to make this clear, all right? People don't twist my words here. We're fighting a spiritual battle, okay? It's spiritually we're chasing off all the wicked people. That's what we should be doing. By going out there, preaching the gospel, right? The Bible says that we need to live peaceably with men, okay? And that's what we're trying to do. But you still have that offensive mindset that you're going to chase off. Now, a church can chase off a lot of bad people. Just by being in the area, you know, the wicked flee when none pursueth, okay? And so, and I think of one other thing. I think of the Apostle Paul and all the things that he went through. And I think he mentioned this. I have this right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He says this, and I'm just going to say this. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And night and day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This guy went through so much, and he never, ever, ever quit. Why? Because he had a goal, he had a plan, he was focused, he had joy, and he was resilient. That's an offensive-minded person, just like Nehemiah, not giving up. He doesn't care. Daniel's being thrown in the pit. I don't care, I'm coming out, right? Jeremiah being thrown in the pit. I don't care, I'm coming out. I'm going to pray to God. I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to preach the word of God. I don't care what you're going to do. Because I'm focused. I'm an offensive-minded person. I'm going out there and doing the work, and you're not going to stop me from doing it. You need to have that attitude. We need to have that attitude if anything's going to get done. Because who else is going to do it? Who else is going to do it? Do you expect some other church to go out there and fight against the wicked things, all the wicked spiritual stuff that's going on? You want somebody else to go do it? Who's going to do it then? Show me a church that's going to do it. Show me a church that's being persecuted right now for the word of God, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. This church is. This church is the offensive-minded church. This church is doing the work that needs to be done, and get on board with us. Join us in the fight. Show up at the soul winning times. Start your own soul winning time. Go soul winning. Read your Bible. Be an offensive-minded person. Teach your kids the word of God. Show them what it says. Show them righteousness, right? Be a good example in the people in the world. Don't be lazy and just sit around and hope that good happens. Make good happen. You know? Have babies. Amen. Right? Don't get a vasectomy. Don't get your tubes tied. You put good into the world. You put good into the world by having babies, by preaching the gospel, by saving the lost, by teaching people the Bible, showing them how to live holy and righteous, and you baptize them. You be that offensive-minded person. You go out there and you get it done, because that's what God wants us to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you light a fire under us, Lord. You keep us burning, Lord. You keep us so bright. Please help us and show us how to do that. Please help us, Lord, and restore the joy of thy salvation unto us, Lord. Help those in the church, Lord, that are just backslidden, that need help. You know, light a fire unto them. You know, help the people get sin out of their life. Show them how to do that. You know, fill paths with the Holy Spirit to help them to preach, Lord, and to show us and to motivate us. And, Lord, just stay with us as we sojourn in this world. Stay with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord. And be with us as we keep focused on the mission, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.